I feel that I have lived through a most interesting period of American history. When I was a young boy, people lived pretty much like they had in the days when this country was first settled by white people. They lived in homes that were heated with stoves and cooked on kitchen ranges. The light was furnished by kerosene lamps, and there was no running water in the rural homes. The farming and haying was done with horses. There was a number of our neighbors that did not own an automobile. The roads were at best graded dirt with culverts and bridges over the draws and creeks. The culverts and bridges were made of wood. The road to Shadron was first graded in 1928. The folks drove down to Shadron for some reason in the 20s before the road was graveled. It rained while we were down there, and we got stuck in the mud on the way home near the wayside butte. Dad walked several miles to the Nelson Ranch, and young fellow that was on the lived with his dad there on the ranch had a Model T Ford. He drove over to where we were stuck. He stayed on the grass and was able to get along. He loaded us all up and we went over to Nelson's, mother and dad and us kids. And my Aunt Velma was along with us. We all stayed there until morning, had breakfast. And then Nelson's went over with their team and wagon and pulled the car out of the mud and we came on home. It was quite an experience. Trains were the means of transportation, and one could go from Orange to Hot Springs, attend to your business, and be home the same day on the train. Mail could be sent to Hot Springs in the morning, and an answer would be received when the train came back from the north that evening. The towns along the railroads and most small towns like Ulrich's had a grocery store, a hardware store, drug store, a bank, a livery barn, a butcher shop, a newspaper. They had a doctor, blacksmith shops, and train buying stations. As roads and automobiles improved, the small towns lost their businesses, and now many of the small towns in this area, like Smithwick Hall, Buffalo Gap, Fairburg, Mimosa, Wayside, and Ardmore, are about deserted. Some people live in these towns and commute to the neighboring larger towns. Modern machinery and equipment have made for less physical labor, although the present-day farmer rancher puts in long, hard days operating the machinery that has replaced hand labor and horse-powered ranch work. Horses played such an important part in the operation of a ranch in those days that many ranchers raised their own work and saddle horses. We most always had several colts a year from the brood mares, and breaking the colts at age 3 or 4 was a regular spring job. The work horses we broke by hitching them to a wagon alongside an older, well-trained horse. Oftentimes it was an exciting first time or so, and one had to be careful to avoid a runaway. Runaways were a rather common happening during the days of working horses. It often seemed like there were horses that just looked for a chance to run. When I was 9 years old, I was helping Dad mow hay on the Demolin place. The one horse on my team was always rather touchy. He got a hind leg over the moor tongue when we turned a corner, and the team started to run and broke the double tree. They ran to the wagon where we had feed for the horses and our noon lunch. Dad was able to repair the moor, and we finished the mowing. That was the first of many runaways that I experienced. Rose went with me to fence soon after we were married. Bettina got spooked when she drove me across the fence that I was holding down. Rose jumped out of the wagon. The team ran to the Krells that were just over the hill. They stopped after breaking off a corner post. We were very thankful that Rose was not hurt. Saddle horses were a very important part of to ranch work at that time. Max and Don and I rode to grade school until Velma started. Then we only rode when the roads were so that we couldn't drive the Whippet automobile to school. Max and I did about all the riding for the ranch, as Dad had hurt his back and hips when he was riding along leading a young horse that pulled back when his saddle horse jumped a ditch. He had the lead rope tied to the saddle horn and the cinch broke, and it pulled him and the saddle off. He got on the ground and hurt his self. He didn't break any bones, but it did hurt him to ride after that. And he let Max and I do the riding from then on. We rode after the cattle, rode the water holes. In those days, there was a lot of water holes in the creeks that weren't very big, and the cattle would try and drink at them when they got low and muddy, and it was a regular job for us boys to ride the creeks to check to see if there was anything stuck in the mud, and there often was, so we'd come home and get Dad, and he'd get his team and wagon and rope and go and pull them out. Max and I broke horses to ride when we were home together. We would get the horse in that we wanted to break and catch it and put on the hackamore and break it to lead and sack it out. And that sacking out was important because it got them used to having something bumping and shaking around them. It gentled them enough so that we could get a saddle on. Then one of us would get on the gentle horse and take the lead rope, and the other one would get on the bronc, and we'd spend some time in the corral before going out into a pasture and giving the bronc a good workout. The fellow on the gentle horse was called the Hazel. He could keep the cold aimed out and prevent it from bucking much. Max was a very good hazel and helped me break many horses. Max broke some colts too, but he had some bad luck too. He was riding a bronc for a friend. The horse was started but needed riding. And the horse was in a trail near Ulrich's. And we took him in with his saddle, and he then rode the horse into Ulrich's and spent some time in Ulrich's at the Drake residence before he started to ride home. He did get home in good shape. He rode that horse home in the dark. And the next morning he got on it and rode out to check our coyote trap lines. We were trapping coyotes, and we had quite a few traps scattered around on the school section. And while he was riding around there, the horse bucked him off, and he really skinned up his face. He didn't get to, and the horse caught, won't run off, and he had to walk home. There were many incidents that occurred in those days that when we had to handle all the cattle and horses horseback. We had no cattle chutes, so cattle were roped by the head and by one roper, and by the hind legs by another roper, and then they would be treated if they were sick or dehorned, or if that was what was needed. Calves were always healed, and wrestled by a couple of cowboys whenever they were branded. Cattle were trailed to market. Dad shipped his steers to Omaha, and the train was sold to buyers that would take delivery in Ulrich to Smithwick Stockyards. Then they started the sale barn in Chadron, and then after that, we did trail quite a few of our cattle to Chadron. On one occasion, Dad sold his yearling steers to a cattle buyer that wanted them delivered to Smithwick. They had his scales in the Smithwick Stockyards, and Dad made the deal that they would be delivered in the evening and weighed the next morning. Max and I rounded up the pasture. It was that big pasture between our ranch and where Max lived at the time. And we cut off Dad's steers. It was a pasture that was a group pasture. There were other cattle in it. And we got them cut off about evening when we got done. And we started them down the road towards Smithwick. There was about 60 or 70 head of them. It soon got dark and started to rain, and we were within a couple of miles of Smithwick when an automobile came up behind us. I rode back and asked the driver if he would wait until we got the steers into town, as it would have been a disaster if he would have tried to get through the herd. He said he would, and he turned around, and we never saw him again. Max rode in front of the steers and turned them at the Highway 18 corner, and we took that herd on down to Smithwick, about half a mile down there, and we crossed the sand creek and took them across town, right through town, to the stockyard. We were able to get them all safely corralled, which to us seemed almost a miracle. Auto lights or dog barking or some other distraction would have caused a stampede. I had on a new pair of jeans, and the right leg was soaking wet as the rain was from the northeast. It stopped raining about the time we got the cattle corralled, so we had a drier ride home. And my jeans got dry that next morning. The right leg was almost several inches shorter than the left one. I had a number of trips to Chadron to the sale of this cattle, but traveled in the daytime and didn't have any rain. I also trailed several bunches of horses to the horse sale. That trip took only one day. The cattle took 3 days, as we started on Sunday noon and trailed Monday and got to the sale on Tuesday noon. We would stay at Marion Harris's the first night, the Armature Ranch on Monday night, and then get into the sale by noon the next day. I would usually ride home after the sale along with my helper, Dick Rickenbach, Alfred Hamblin, and Allie Mankey were some of the fellows that helped drive down. We quit trailing when the semi-trailer trucks were invented.